the load or the yoke and the burden.
Those who are tired of hearing me speak about Kenya, please forgive me for again mentioning that we often see the bulls ploughing over there. And this is something that I can speak to them about. And it's a scriptural thing because the Lord uses these terminologies himself. A yoke is made out of a piece of timber, and they bore holes, and they put four pieces down that fit over the shoulders of the two bulls, and then they put a chain through and they pull the plough or the sledge that they drag things around on with it. And in one case, they're even carrying gravel and things like that, rocks in it. So when we think of a yoke, we think of something that goes around the neck of the animal, that yokes one animal to another, a bull to a bull, normally. And then the yoke implies that there's going to be a burden. There's going to be a load attached to the end of that chain that is hooked to the yoke. That's the first thing. So I want to speak on four things. Firstly, there's a burden to lose, a load to be lost. There's a burden to be taken. There's a burden to lose and a yoke to be broken. Secondly, there's a burden to be taken and a yoke to be taken. Thirdly, there's a burden to be shared, and lastly, there's a burden to be dropped, a burden to get rid of. So we want to look at these four things. And we're going to read firstly in Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 to 30, where we're going to look at a burden to lose, a load to be got rid of. Verse 28 of Matthew 11, where Jesus says, "Come to me, all you who labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." The Lord speaks about a heavy burden. "Come to me, all you who labour and are heavy laden." A heavy burden. And here the Lord is speaking about those who are weighed down with the burdens of life and with the burden of problems. And it can become overwhelming. And he says, "You come to me, and I will give you rest." Now, in this world, by nature, you and I are born with a sinful, fallen heart. For 22 years, I lived without the Lord. My mother taught me to fear God, but I didn't have a clear hearing of the gospel. And when we speak about a burden of sin, I didn't feel any burden of sin until I heard the gospel. Until I began to listen to the fact that I was a sinner, that the wages of sin is death, that a lost eternity lay before those who died without receiving Christ as Saviour. And conviction began to stir in my soul. The Holy Spirit began to bring conviction. And then I found I had a load. I had a burden, an increasing burden. And I began to see myself as very, very sinful. And so there will be some here perhaps this morning that you don't feel any burden. You haven't accepted the Lord as your Saviour. You would not find his yoke possible to bear, the yoke of the Lord. You would not be able to pull the burden that he might want to place upon you. Remember my brother said to my mother when I became a Christian, "That's the end of him now, the girls will have nothing more to do with him." And when we are young and we start to think about the claims of Christ upon us, there is a cost. And maybe we're enjoying the pleasures of sin. We don't see any burden in sin. Well then, if that's how you are this morning, you remind me of a man called Martin Riera, an Italian man who owned a cane farm when I was farming in North Queensland. And there's a big sign right across the gateway and it says Martin Riera, and his widow's put it up there. Because Martin was pulling a tyre off a tractory on his own. He had the tractor jacked up and he undone the bolts and he's pulling the trying to get the tyre off and it came over and just crushed him to death. You see, if you don't feel any burden for sin, then you're spiritually dead. You don't realise it. You don't realise your need. You haven't felt that need. Then you're spiritually dead. And the yoke of Christ would be galling to you. Would not be something that you would want, because it will make claims upon you. There's no doubt about that. The Lord will makes claims upon our lives. And so there's firstly a yoke to be broken. And we are led captive, the Bible says, by the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the children of disobedience. And by nature, we are led captive by him at his will. So we are captive to him. In a sense, we're yoked to him. And I'll never forget Marco, and I mentioned it last week, standing out there on the village street of Muhura Bay, speaking in Swahili, crowd around us, and suddenly he said, "Let's shame the devil in broad daylight." And three young men walked out and joined us from the crowd and stood there while Marco put his hands on their shoulders and he prayed and they received the Lord. That broke the yoke of Satan in their life. Let me tell you, Satan by nature has us yoked to himself. And we don't realise it, but he's just dragging us along with his yoke. And we're in bondage to this world, as we were hearing this morning in some of that ministry, particularly by John. We're hearing this morning of how the things of this world can so appeal to us. And when we think of it, that's a yoke, isn't it? Whatever holds you captive, you're yoked to it. If you just love to live for sport, then you're yoked to sport. If you just want to make money for a living and that's your whole interest, you're yoked to that. You're captive to it. And the Lord Jesus said he would set you free. And he says, "Come to me." And we have to come to Christ if we want that yoke smashed and broken. And so there's a yoke to be broken and there's a burden to be released. As we begin to realise our true spiritual condition before God, we will feel a burden about our sin. We will become concerned about it. It will bring us to our knees. It will bring us to a true recognition of what we are in the sight of God. What people think doesn't really matter. It's what God says and what God thinks that matters. And the conviction of the Holy Spirit will come into our hearts and it will bring us to our knees. And when we receive Christ as our Lord and Saviour, he says, "Come unto me, all you that labour and are heavy laden. You're beaten out by life's processes. You're burdened down under the weight of life." He says, "I will give you rest. I'll break the yoke of this world that enslaves you. I'll break the yoke of Satan." There are some, even here today, I'm sure, who were in great bondage and who've been released. We know people who've been in bondage to alcohol. People who've been in bondage to drugs. People who've been in bondage to immorality. There are many things that can claim us and drag us down. And Christ breaks that and he makes a new person. And when that's broken, a sense of rest comes into the heart. That's the first rest in there. There are two rests in here, by the way. There's a rest from sin when the burden is lifted. Remember Pilgrim's Progress? If you've read it, try and get that book. Christian went on pilgrimage, remember? And he had a great burden on his back. And the further he went, the heavier this burden became. He tried to get it removed by Mr. Legality. And he found that law-keeping and doing good works didn't get rid of the load. It just got heavier. And eventually he came to the little wicket gate. And he went through that and continued on the narrow way. And he came to the foot of a hill. And there he turned across and he saw the form of one on a cross. He looked across at the foot of this hill. And as he gazed on that person hanging on the cross, when he saw the wounds in his hands and in his feet and the blood streaming down his forehead where the crown of thorns had been placed and beaten by the rod, his face bruised and marred more than any man. As he gazed upon that scene and as he realised that the man of sorrows had suffered for him on the cross, he didn't even realise it, but suddenly the burden was gone and he looked around and he saw the burden tumbling. It had broken off his back and it had rolling down into this empty sepulchre. Isn't that beautiful? You see, not only did he die for us, but he rose again for us too. And he lives in the power of an endless life. And Christ delivers. He said, "If the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. Whoever sins is in bondage to sin. But if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed." And the Lord says, "Come to me." And that's the main thrust that I want to make this morning. The Lord can set you free from the bondage to Satan, the bondage to this world and all the things that allure us by nature. They hold us captive. They claim us. But the Lord can set us free. And the Lord can give us a love for him. You see, he first loved us, didn't he? And John the Apostle wrote, "We love him." Why? Because he first loved us. And when we have a vision to our heart by faith of the Lord Jesus and all that he did for us on the cross, that breaks the bondage of Satan. And it removes the burden of sin. And it sets us free. And we become a new creature in Christ. So there's this heavy load, this heavy... Come to me, all you who labour and are heavy laden. See the old bull over there, the ground is too hard, they've got to stop ploughing. The old bulls are struggling and they just can't, they're labouring. The yoke is hurting and the chain is dragging and they have to stop until the rains come. You know, it's a terrible thing to be in bondage to Satan. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. He pays poor wages, doesn't he? The wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Come to me, all you who labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest, his gift. He will give you something. He'll give you the forgiveness of sins. He'll give you the gift of life, the Bible says. And it says he will give you rest. Not a rest from work like the dull budgies at the coast riding the waves at the taxpayers' expense every day of the week. That'd be a nice lifestyle, wouldn't it? Half a dozen living in the house paying the rent, living it up there. It's not that sort of rest. This is a rest in the heart, a rest in the conscience. A rest with all of our faculties now redirected and finding their fulfillment in the Lord Jesus Christ. Finding our peace and our rest in him. Instead of being self-centered and world-centered, we suddenly become Christ-centered. We become focused on him. And we find a whole new meaning to life. So that's the first thing. Now the second one was, there's a burden to be taken. He says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Now the Lord has a plan and a purpose for your life. And a yoke implies a load to carry. And so there's a cost to following Christ. But he says, my yoke is easy. It doesn't gall. It doesn't hurt his yoke if we take it upon ourselves willingly. When that young bull is first yoked up to the old bull who's broken in, he kicks and he pulls and he struggles. But he only gets hurt, doesn't he? The Lord wants us to willingly take this upon ourselves. If we are a Christian, we should then become a disciple. You know, that's the Lord's command, to preach the gospel, didn't he? Go into all the world and make disciples among all the nations. How do we do that? We preach the gospel. People receive Christ as their saviour. That's only the beginning. We then have to discipleise them. A disciple is a disciplined one. That's taking the yoke to follow Christ. He said, take up the cross daily and follow me. That's another way of putting it, isn't it? Take up the cross daily. That means you've got to be prepared to take my yoke upon you, to bear reproach for my name's sake. Sure, some of your friends will laugh at you. The wise mother said to her son, when he said, Mum, if I become a Christian, some of my friends will laugh at me. Yeah, they will, she said. They can laugh you into hell, but they can't laugh you out. We've got to really think about that. There is a cost to following Christ. And some of you young people, you will pay a cost in the school. You will pay a cost in the school. There's a cost in that sense of reproach. But there's more to it than that. You see, when the Lord said to Peter, follow me, and this is the beginning, isn't it? Matthew chapter 4. Right at the beginning, the first of the disciples are being called. And the Lord said to Peter, follow me. And then he said, I will make you fishers of men. So when we begin to follow the Lord, we say, Lord, I'm prepared to follow you. I'm prepared to take up the cross. Well, then the Lord begins to make something of our life, okay? He's got a plan. We don't know what that plan is when we begin. You young people, some of you, you've trusted the Lord as your Saviour. You don't know what the Lord's plan is for you, but he has a plan. And it's the very best plan if you will let the Lord lead you on into it. And the only way you can do that is to say, Lord, here I am. I'm prepared to take up the cross, no matter what the cost, no matter what you want me to do, please lead me into it. Please lead me on. Please show me the way. And so, firstly, we're to take up the cross. Romans 12, 1 and 2 tells us to present our bodies as a living sacrifice. That's another way of putting it, isn't it? And remember when Paul got converted on the Damascus Road, what was the first thing he said to the Lord? Remember the light brighter than the midday sun shone upon him and he was blinded. And a voice said, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? And he said, who are you, Lord? He said, I am Jesus whom you're persecuting. It's hard for you to kick against the goads. Here you are, he's yoked to the devil, and the devil has the ox goad to drive him along. Get the picture? Here's Saul, yoked to the devil, a very religious man, thinking he's serving God. But he's yoked to the devil, and he's yoked to a religious system, Judaism, which had rejected God's true way. And he's being goaded on. It's hard for you. The Holy Spirit is convicting you in your heart, Saul, and you're refusing to listen. It's hard for you to kick against the goads. He'd seen Stephen stoned to death. He stood by while the first martyr paid the supreme price for his faith, for his fearless witness for the Lord. And his heart was being pricked by what he saw in these faithful Christians. And he said, I am Jesus whom you're persecuting. And he said, what did he say? Lord, and here's the secret of his life. Lord, what will you have me to do? And he went on to live that. Lord, what will you have me to do? Remember the Lord Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane as he faced the cross? He said, Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. And then he said, nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. The Lord Jesus came to do the will of God. It says in Psalm 40, lo, in the volume of the book it is written of me, I come, that's Hebrews, translation of it, but in the Old Testament it says, I delight to do your will. Isn't that wonderful? I delight. You know, brothers and sisters, if we truly want to be disciples, we need to find a delight in doing God's will. It should be a delight to do it. To take the yoke upon ourselves, that means I submit to the will of the Lord. I bow to his will. I stop fighting. I stop fighting against it. And that's why some of you will probably not find his yoke easy or his burden light, because you don't really know the Lord. The Bible tells us that the natural man, the carnal mind, the fleshly mind, the unregenerate mind, the person who's not born again, is at enmity with God. And you cannot accept the yoke of the Lord Jesus. You first have to have the yoke of Satan broken before you can, and the burden of sin removed, before you can take the yoke of Christ. His yoke is easy, it doesn't gall, and his burden is light. In other words, the burden that the Lord would place upon us is not burdensome, it's not going to wear us out. It's a burden that he has designed, it's a load to be borne, it's a responsibility that he wants us to carry. In chapter 24 of Matthew, towards the close, the Lord says, who is a faithful and a wise servant? There it is. A faithful and a wise servant who gives meat to his household in due season. Here is a man who is faithful. He's taken the yoke and he's discharging it in wisdom. He's providing food for the household. Really, I think this is a word for those in leadership, in eldership. Providing food in due season. Blessed is that servant when his master comes, finds so doing. And so Peter, the Lord said, you follow me and I will make you fishers of men. I'll make something of you. Called to follow, but then later he was sanctified to serve. So there's a progression in the Christian life. Firstly, we are called to follow Christ. To have the yoke, allow Christ. He alone can break the yoke of Satan when we submit and bow at his feet and say, Lord, I'm the sinner. You alone can save. Please save my soul. I'm calling upon you, Lord. He can break the yoke of Satan. Only he can do it. We can't do it. But if you, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, shall be saved, the Bible says. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord. And if you believe in your heart, if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. You see, the Lord will do what you cannot do. And I proved that. As a young fellow, I was so confused when I heard all this. I was so burdened as I continued to hear the Bible. And I just had to go to the Lord and say, Lord, I can't. I can't do any of this. I can't be a Christian. I can't live the life. I can't do anything. Lord, save me. And that's when the Lord breaks the yoke of Satan. And that's when the first little bit of rest came into my heart. When I came to the end of myself and realized that I had to trust on Christ wholly to help me in my need. And he can do that for you. That soul that on Jesus has leaned for repose, he'll never, no, never desert to its foes. That soul, though all hell should endeavor to shake, he'll never, no, never, no, never forsake. If we will turn to the Lord. And I still have to turn to the Lord in my weakness and need. Lord, only you can sustain me in this situation. And the load will change as the years go by, okay? You know, we should be getting stronger in the faith. Is that right? And the Lord can entrust us with greater things. Is that right? Yes, he wants to. The Lord says, if you're faithful in little, you'll be entrusted with bigger things. You'll be entrusted with much. And the Lord wants to trust us with greater things, but we have to begin at the beginning. And we have to yield our life to the Lord, and we have to ask him to show us the way ahead and to lead us into the plan that he has. And so Peter was called to follow, and the Lord began to teach him and make him into a man who could win others to Christ. And then later on, at the close of John's Gospel, he says, Peter, do you love me more than these? Yes, Lord, you know I love you. He said, well, then you feed my sheep. You feed my lambs. You feed my sheep. You see, the Lord is now enlarging the load. He's placing another burden upon Peter. But with that burden, he's going to give the ability to carry it out. The Lord will never give us a burden that he won't give us the ability. You think of some of the burdens laid on the prophets. I was reading Malachi. Malachi chapter 1, verse 1. The burden of the Lord that came to Malachi. You think of that, the message he had to deliver to Israel. And here he is, just an ordinary guy out there, and the Lord speaking to his heart and saying, now this is my message to this people, and you've got to go and give it to them. And it's not easy to do that. But you've got to discharge this responsibility. And it's a burden that I'm laying on you, because my people Israel need this message, and I'm laying it upon you to take it to them. So we have that with Malachi. I was thinking of John the Baptist. You know, we read in Luke, there's a chapter 4, around Luke chapter 3 or chapter 4. Luke chapter 3, verse 2. The word of the Lord came to John in the wilderness. What was happening? Here's this young man out there, and he's meditating. I think of David, the young man looking after the sheep. He's out there, just doing everyday ordinary things, but he's a man who's meditating, a young woman who's meditating. And waiting on God and yielded to God. And what's happening? The Spirit of God is speaking. The Spirit of God will speak to the heart if you're yielding. The Spirit of God will begin to exercise your heart and lay a burden on you. This is what I want you to do. I'm not thinking of a great big heavy load that's going to crush you, but he will lay something on your heart that he wants you to do. Can you see what I'm saying? That's his burden. Because you've taken his yoke. He says, you take my yoke. The Lord's not going to force this yoke on you. He says, if you continue in my word, then you will be my disciples indeed. The Lord doesn't force us to do anything, but he offers us something. He says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you will find rest unto yourselves. You know, the old bulls there, they're meek and lowly. They just stand there, they're broken. They're broken in, and they're meek and they're lowly, and you can trust them. And the Lord says, now you become like me. You become meek and lowly in heart, and then you will find rest for your souls. So there's a burden placed on us by the Lord, and he says, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. So there was the burden that Malachi had, the burden that John the Baptist had, and Paul had a burden. He says, woe is me if I do not preach the gospel. You see, the Lord will lay a burden on another brother or sister to share the gospel. It becomes a burden in their heart. And I was quite a young Christian when the Lord laid on me a burden in the area of teaching, and I couldn't escape that. I began to search the scriptures. You know what the Bible says? The elders who are among you who labour, now notice that word, who labour in word and doctrine, they are to be counted worthy of double honour. You see, here's a labour, here's a burden that the Lord lays on our heart. It's not something that I ask for. It's something that God places upon us. You see, there are some who are gifted evangelists. I'm not a gift, it's a gift. And they have a way and an appeal to the non-Christian people. And the Spirit of God uses them. I see it in Kenya. I just see them, God working through them. It's a gift and a calling and a burden that the Lord has given them. But others have other burdens. Others may have the burden of being a teacher and so on. The deacons who serve well. Says they have a good standing and great boldness in the faith of Jesus Christ. Who is a deacon? A deacon is a person who is, the Old King James says he's a very grave person, or the New King James says a very reverent person. A deacon is a person who is reliable and trustworthy. And you can place a responsibility upon them and they will discharge that responsibility faithfully. A deacon is a servant of the church. A deacon supports the elders in the ministry. And you can rely upon them. When they're given something to do, when they make a commitment, it's carried out. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, at the close of the chapter, we're given a list. There were some who were apostles, some who were prophets, and goes right down. It's got a little word there called helps. You know what a help is? Now, here I'm speaking to you young people. And this is what I hear. I hear that there's only a couple of people available to help with the kids' club. And that can become a burden very difficult to carry year in, year out. Sometimes, because we fail to do our end and pray and commit ourselves, others are overloaded, and that shouldn't be. If everyone in the Wenwan Christian Fellowship carried the load that God has appointed for them, there'd be no lack of helpers in every area. Do you know that? And there would be tremendous expansion. We would be planting new churches. That's what would be happening. We would be spreading. But I've noticed over the years in most churches that there's the few that carry the load and the rest fill the pew while the few carry the load. And I've got a challenge for you all this morning, and that is to say, Lord, what will you have me to do? You know that little word help, you know what it means? It's somebody who comes along and here's someone, they're trying to lift a heavy load. It's a heavy burden. They've taken one end of this heavy load and they're trying to lift it. Reminds me of the kids' club, reminds me of the youth work. Other activities. They're trying to lift that heavy load. And here along comes somebody else and says, I'll take the other end of that load and give you a hand. That's a help. Now, I wanted to say this morning. Okay, you don't know what the Lord wants you to do. You're not sure about what you're fitted for. Well, let me suggest this to you. Go along and say to... Just pray firstly about this and then go along and say to John Denman, John, is there anything I can do to help in the kids' club? Okay? Go along to Rob and Pam and say, is there anything I can do to help with the youth work? I hear that there's a whole group of younger people now coming up, coming through Kids Club, who really need young people who are prepared to take up the load and help with the burden with this younger group, because they're really too young for the older group. You get the message? So I wonder if there's some among the young people here today who are prepared to say, look, I don't know what my gift is, but here I am, I'm prepared to offer myself, to make myself available, to give the time and see what I can do to help. That's a helper, okay? You don't know what your gift is? Well, you make yourself available. And I'll tell you what will happen. Very soon, your gift will start to rise to the fore, okay? And you'll find out what your gift is. And God will lead you from little things, He'll lead you on into bigger things. Okay. Now, we want to move on, and I'll just pass this thought on to you. You know, among the sons of Levi, there were three divisions. Firstly, there were really four. There was the family of Aaron, who had the priesthood, right? The high priest and his sons. But then there were three tribes, families among the Levites. There was Kohath, Gershon, and Merari. Now, Kohath was given the responsibility of carrying the holy things, okay? The holy things. They had to carry the ark. They had to carry the golden lampstand and the golden altar and the vessels associated with the ministry of the priest within the holy place and within the most holy place. And their burden, it says, their burden was to carry it on their shoulders. Isn't that a lovely thought? Brothers and sisters, God has a responsibility for each one of us to bear. What a privilege to bear the holy things of God. But there's a challenge here too. That we are to be holy. You who bear the vessels of the Lord are to be holy. We are to be a holy people. We can't bear the vessels of the Lord unless we are holy people, because if we're an unholy people, we will bring shame upon the testimony and the witness of the Lord. Okay? So he's calling us. We are a royal priesthood. We're a holy priesthood. And Peter was called to follow and become a fisherman. And then when the Holy Spirit was given and the church was formed, he was sanctified and empowered by the indwelling Holy Spirit to serve God in a new ministry as a shepherd among God's people. And he wrote, be you holy, even as he who called you is holy. So we need to link those things together. Now we must move on. Now, we've looked at a burden to lose and a yoke to be broken. We've looked at a yoke to be taken, and a burden that the Lord will lay upon us. Now I want to look briefly at a burden to share. But perhaps before I do, all who would be disciples are yoked and laden with a burden. Brothers, in your home, as husbands, you are to love your wives as Christ loved the church, okay? That is a burden the Lord lays on you. It's not something that you can quibble about. And you are to seek to present your wife to Christ to fulfill her purpose for her life in all the abilities and capabilities that she has. You are to build her up and you are to present her back to Christ as Christ presents the church to the Father. You get the thought? Even as Christ presents us to the Father in all of his own perfections, we are to seek to present our wives back to the Father. We should be building them up and encouraging them in their most holy faith. Wives, also you are to love your husbands. Sometimes you have a burden to bear with your husbands. Men are not always easy to live with. But here is a burden that the Lord has laid upon you. A burden to be submissive to your husband. That doesn't mean that you have to agree with him when he's wrong. There is a time when a wife should speak quietly, graciously, lovingly, but faithfully, and say, "Darling, I have to differ with you here, and this is what I think, and this is why." The wise husband will listen, and he will weigh up the pros and cons. Remember Ananias and Sapphira? How is it that you have agreed together to tempt the Holy Spirit? What had happened? She hadn't said no. She had agreed with her husband. And remember what happened? He died, fell at Peter's feet dead. And then when she came in, Peter said to her, "How is it that you have agreed together?" If she had have disagreed, she would have lived. And so there is a time when wives too should speak up when they see that things are not perhaps what they should be. And then, of course, there's the burden of the children. Who knows the burdens that women carry? Think of my wife and the little ones were sick up all night, feeding them, caring for them. There are burdens that wives carry. Now, these are burdens from the Lord, and if you carry them faithfully, God has a wonderful reward. I believe that many of our sisters will have much greater reward than what we brothers have. We have a workplace, we have neighbours, we have a responsibility toward them to share the gospel with them. And then in relation to the church, we have a responsibility there. Young people, the word of God says that you are to obey your parents. The Lord has laid that burden upon you. Have you thought about that? I know some young people who have really kicked against their parents and brought great heartache to them. Great heartache to them. But what a wonderful thing it is when young people will submit to the burden that Christ lays upon them. Children, obey your parents that it may be well with you and that you may live long upon the earth. You see, it's the first commandment with promise. There's a commandment here that's brought over from the Old Testament into the New Testament. One of very few that's done with. Here is the first commandment with a promise. Young people, obey your parents in the Lord, that it may be well with you, there's the promise, and that you may live long upon the earth, there's the added promise. And so that's another burden that the Lord lays on our young people. And he asks you to do that, children and our young people. And then there's a burden to be shared. Let's go over to Galatians chapter 6 as we finish off our time together, because there's two references here. There's a burden to be shared in verse 5. Verse 2 says, "Bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ." And then verse 5 says, "For each one shall bear his own burden or his own load." There are two different words used here. We're looking at verse 5, a burden to be shared. The Greek word means something carried. It's anything laid upon us without reference to its weight. Now, there are responsibilities the Lord has laid on my shoulders that he hasn't laid upon yours. He's seen fit to lay them on me, not on you young people. Okay, so it's not with reference to the weight of the burden, but it's the fact of the burden. Each one of us has to carry or bear his own burden. The Lord will lay upon each one of us his burden if we're going to be truly followers of Christ. I once heard a brother say, it really means everyone shall shoulder their own pack. You've got to shoulder your own pack. Don't expect others to do what the Lord is asking you to do. Pick up your pack, carry the load that the Lord has appointed for you. In other words, pull your weight. So there's a burden to be borne. And many, many people carry very heavy burdens, don't they? Remember Amy, was it Fanny Crosby was born blind? Wrote some of our most beautiful hymns. You imagine the burden that she carried. But she carried that burden for the Lord. She carried it joyfully. And she said, she wrote a little poem, I can't quote it, but she wrote about what a happy person I am. You know, her joy was in the Lord. She found her fulfillment in Christ and in doing what she could in that area. Then there's a burden to be shared, and that's the one in verse 2. Bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Different word used here, but it's anything pressing, demanding, heavy, burdensome, whether it's physical or spiritual. That's the meaning of the word here. Any heavy, pressing burden, whether it's a physical thing. Some people have burdens and their physical burdens, maybe sickness, infirmities, so on. We could rattle off a whole list of things, couldn't we? Or there may be spiritual burdens that people are bearing. Some people are stronger in the faith, some are weaker in the faith. Some have particular attacks of despondency, and others have... There's all sorts of spiritual battles going on. And in that sense, we are to encourage one another and to support one another. There may be someone in great poverty. A brother came to me. He's a refugee from Rwanda, and he had no means of support, and he's not allowed to work in Kenya. And he's afraid to return. He's from the tribe that did all the butchering, and the other tribe is in power. There are many, many assemblies in Rwanda, and he was from one of them, and he's afraid to return. Now, how can we turn away from those sort of needs? If you see your brother have a need and you shut up your bowels of compassion, how does the love of God dwell in you? You can't turn away from those sort of needs. So this is helping to bear one another's burden. While I have $500 in my account in the bank sitting there not being used, can I turn my back on that brother and say, I refuse to help you. You struggle on here and survive in the slums as best you can. Go around with a begging bowl. So we are to share one another's burdens in that sense too. Physical or spiritual. And the last one is in the Psalms. It's in Psalm 55. And there's a burden to be dropped. Psalm 55, verse 22. There's a burden that we need to drop. Some of us like to pick up burdens, and I've come to realise that some burdens are not of my making and they're not for me to pick up. Other people have responsibilities, and there are situations over which we have no control. And in helping others, we must not allow their burden to break our backs. Okay? I've had to learn that lesson. I've had to learn to do what I can in Kenya without it overwhelming me. And it could easily do that. And the burden of people around us who are addicted to drugs and drunkards and all the other things that we have all around us in this society, we could easily become so involved that it would break our hearts. We have to be able to stand off. We have to do what we can to help them, but we have to cast that burden on the Lord. And there are some burdens that we shouldn't pick up and carry because they can destroy us, they can break us. Verse 22 of Psalm 55, cast your burden on the Lord and he shall sustain you. He shall never permit the righteous to be moved. Now, if you're carrying a burden and it's really getting you down, well, then you need to take it to the Lord. Okay? Firstly, look at it. Should you have that burden? Is it a burden from the Lord? Well, if it's a burden from the Lord, he says, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. And if it's a burden that you've made for yourself, well, then you need to take it to the Lord and leave it there and unload that burden. And I'll leave you to pray about those thoughts and to make any application as you feel they may apply to you. Firstly, a burden to lose, a yoke to be broken. The great burden of sin and of judgment of God is coming on this world, and the yoke of Satan needs breaking in your life if you're not yet saved. Then there's a burden to be taken, a yoke and a burden to be taken. Our life needs to be linked to Christ to take up the responsibilities that he has for us. Then there's a burden to be shared, as we looked in Galatians 2. And then in Psalm 55, we can cast all our burdens upon the Lord, whatever they may be. Some of you are going through times with your families, broken hearts.